to greet you in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be here and worship together. Enjoyed the service, Sunday school hour, and the singing of the hymns, the devotional we had earlier. I do enjoy hearing what others have to contribute and to my life and inspiration that comes as we share together. It's also good to see those who have been traveling back with us again. LaMerle and Dwayne, and maybe there's been others. Our thoughts traveled with you, and it's good to have us together again this morning for worship. As I contemplated a message for the morning, laid it before the Lord, my mind centered around the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You can turn with me to Daniel chapter 3. I'm going to read that account here in just a moment. Title of the message is Faith Tried by Fire. Faith Tried by Fire. We'll read this account here in just a bit. But as I pondered and as I thought about the message, you know, one of the things that I shy away from, and I'm sure you do too, and that is pain. I do not like pain. Some of us have higher pain tolerances than others. Every morning, I'm to take my sugar test. A doctor has told me to promise that I will do that every morning for a certain time. And every morning, I need to jag that little needle into my finger and get a little bit of blood out. And I don't like that. It's just a little needle. But this morning, again, I stood there and I'm like, okay, and you do it. So you just do it and it's done, you know, again. I don't like it. It hurts a little bit. It's pain. I shy away from pain. That's just a little thing. Very, very little thing. But you know what? By and large, we have not had to face physical pain because of being a Christian. Physical pain. There are persecutions happening across the world, maybe even in our country. We are, to a degree, persecuted at times for our faith and our belief. People say things that hurt. But by and large, I personally have not suffered physical pain because of my stand of being a Christian. We do not know what the future holds. And we pray that our freedoms will continue in this land. But as we see the falling away of morals and the falling away from God in the nation we live and in the nations around the world, I was told this week, and it's hard to know what to believe. You hear so many things. One of my friends at work told me, he said, I've read that in the Taliban in Afghanistan, they're going door to door looking for Christians. The burden of the message this morning is to encourage us to evaluate the depth of our faith and commitment to God, and to encourage us to be strong in faith through trial. Strong in faith through trial. How deep, what is the depth of my commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ? What is the depth of your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ? How much are you willing to give? Is your faith worth dying for today? Yes, the faith in the Lord Jesus is worth dying for. It's easy to say. His words come easy. but to live it. Three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, are an example to us of three young men. Let's call them young men. Do not know what their age was exactly, but who stood firm in the face of opposition. I like to read Daniel chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors and captains, the judges and treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then was Nebuchadnezzar full fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flames of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake and said unto his counselors, "Did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and all the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their hair singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Loved ones, that we serve the same God today. The same God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Faith tried by fire. We know that story, but it's just good to read it again. 1 Peter 1:7 says, "Let the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." As I said before, what is the depth of my commitment? What is the depth of your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ? 1 Corinthians 16:13. "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong." These three Hebrew young men are an example to us of steadfast faith. In the face of severe opposition and the threat of death, they remain constant. We are facing tests of faith today. We're facing tests of faith. Idols abound on many plains, and calls go out for us to bow to them. You know that. There are things beckoning for our allegiance and beckoning for us to bow to them. I challenge you, and myself alike, do you worship the true God? A relationship with Him. Do you have a relationship with Him, the true God? The only God, the King of Kings. And it seems as though the faithful ones are becoming less and less. We think and we know of those, even of our loved ones, who appear to us to be bowing to different gods. I'd like to look, first of all, the first part of the message, faith under test. Faith under test. And I'm speculating here. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly this, but I'm thinking maybe in a broader scope of faith under test. What may have been some of the tests that the three young Hebrew boys faced here? The first one I thought of was the test of allegiance. These three men were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, had held offices in Babylon. They were men who held offices there, but they served the Lord God at the same time as they worked in their work, whatever they did. But here Nebuchadnezzar is calling them all together, all their friends, And he's calling them all together, and he's asking them to bow to this image. Allegiance, a test of allegiance. Allegiance is loyalty and obedience owed to one's government or country. The test of allegiance, faith under test. When faced with the test of allegiance, the three Hebrews chose to be loyal to God of their fathers, to be the God of their heart, the God who they knew. I believe they knew the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. The test of allegiance. You see, in my own experience, it's easier for me to trust what I can see. It's harder for me to trust in the unseen or have faith in what is unseen. Test of allegiance. Joshua 24, verse 15, Joshua says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Choose you this day who you will serve, a test of allegiance. The next test I believe that they faced was the test of compromise. We face these tests. Tests of compromise, faith under test. A giving up to something that is wrong or degrading is compromise. A giving up. Now, we know that in interpersonal relationships where there's conflict, we encourage and we take compromises sometimes. Each one give a little and chart a path forward. Each one give. But in relation to the kingdom of the world and the kingdom of God, there is no giving of each one. It is all or nothing. It is serving the Lord with a whole heart, or we're not serving at all. The test of compromise. Perhaps they could have reasoned, they could have thought that, well, maybe at least they could bow, but not worship. They'll just bow, but they won't worship. Maybe they could have reasoned that, well, it's going to be offensive to their friends who are bowing if they keep standing. Maybe they could just bow this time too and just give in a little bit here. They're not really intending to be heathen, but they do not want to make a problem. They'll just bow this time. Compromise, a test of compromise. Faith under test. The test of commitment. To stand for truth meant facing the threat of death. They knew it. They knew that to stand for truth, they faced death or the threat of death. Their commitment to serve God and worship Him was solid and firm. Commitment is the state or quality of being dedicated to a cause, activity, etc. Being committed. An engagement or obligation that restricts freedom of action. We are Christians this morning. And there's tremendous liberty in being a Christian. Freedom. But there is a law, there is a boundary. There are obligations that restrict our freedom of action in what we do and where we go, the test of commitment. The real depth of my commitment to the Lord Jesus is revealed in my actions under test. It's a challenge to me. The real depth of my commitment to the Lord Jesus is revealed in my actions or my behavior under test. How strong is your commitment to the Lord? A test of commitment. Test of commitment. Imagine with me, here you are. Your friend Daniel, he is not with you. I'm not sure where Daniel is at this time. The Bible doesn't tell us. But Daniel is not here, but you and your other two friends are here. And all the governors and policemen and high-ranking officials, those who you know in your circle of work and what you do, you're all gathered together for this occasion where there's going to be singing and music, and the highest ranking official in your country has told you that you must bow to this image. And you stand there, and the music starts, and everyone, bloop, bows down, but you stay standing. Would you do that? Would I do that? Sometimes maybe we bow at lesser pressured things. We bow. Oh, I hope not. Beloved ones, we may be faced with things in the future that may be just the same level. And will we stand? Will we stand? A test of commitment. Will I stand? Will I be able to stand? To remain standing when everyone else bows. Because my commitment to the Lord Jesus is greater than the threat of death. Faith in action, the next part of the message. Faith in action. Which brings me to this first point under faith in action. And that is, faith in action is willingness to stand alone. Willingness to stand alone. There are certain Jews, Daniel 3 verse 12, there are certain Jews, these men have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. When all others fell down, the three Hebrews stayed standing in the posture that they were in when the music started. And you can think of, your mind can run, and you can think of instances in your own life where you were tempted, or you were tempted to bow. All your other friends were doing it, but your conscience smote you and said, no, this is not right. I cannot go on like this, that this is not right. I am going to take a stand. God's blessing rests upon those who are willing to stand for his cause. No matter how it may feel, what you may face, God's blessing rests upon those who stand for him. Joseph, in his journey, willing to stand alone. David is another example. He said, is there not a cause, when he went to see his brothers in the battle? Is there not a cause? Young people, and all of us together, but young people, be willing to stand. To stand alone if need be. You will find that others will stand with you. Stand alone if need be. willing to stand alone, faith in action. Next point, willing to testify of their faith. They were willing to testify of their faith. Verse 17, they said, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods." We will not serve thy gods. Just let it be known. We do not need a second chance. Nebuchadnezzar, as I read this, it gives the idea that he was going to give them another chance. You know, when you hear the music, just bow down. But they said, "Be it known unto you, king, that we will not bow down to your idols." They testified of their faith, faith in action. The response of the men is not in arrogance, but in firm resolve as they responded to the king. Isaiah 50, verse 7, talking of Jesus' suffering, says, "For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." Set my face like a flint. First Peter 3:15. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Testifying the reason of the hope that is in you. 1 Peter 2:9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Faith in action is a testifying faith, a faith that testifies. As we rub shoulders with the world, and as people ask us questions, and I'm challenged of this in my own life, to speak out more for the Lord and to give answer to the reason of the hope that lies within me, a testifying faith. Faith in action. Next point is willing to trust all to God. Willing to trust all to God. The three Hebrews were. Verses 16 to 18. You know, it came down to it that they just were willing to just trust it all. Telling Nebuchadnezzar that, "Look, our God is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. But if he doesn't choose to do that, if it's his will," I'm putting in my own words, if we die in the line of duty, "he will deliver us from you, O king. But we will not bow." Willingness to trust all to God, faith in action, firm resolve that whether in life or death, they will serve their God. I'd like to read to you a story. As I was studying this morning, I pulled my martyr's mirror off the shelf and was reading some stories of persons who died for their faith. I'd like to read this story about Rudolf Suhner. It's a young lad, a young boy, in the year of 1643. We're talking about faith in action. They also apprehended a young lad named Rudolf Suhner, I guess S-U-H-N-E-R, who, though young in years, was old in the faith and knowledge of Jesus Christ. He was kept confined nearly 2 years in Offenbach, during which time he was forced to hard labor. In the meantime, they made his life so bitter to him by severe threats and terrible representations that he, through fear of the impending distress consented to go to church with those that had imprisoned him. Whereupon he was released. But soon after, reflecting on his fall, he experienced great sorrow, sincerely wept over his sins, and again prepared himself for the conflict set before him. Therefore, he was again apprehended and confined in the aforementioned place, but kept much harder than before. For a time, all food was denied him, even as had been done to Felix Landis, another brother who was imprisoned, I guess. So that some criminals who were confined close to him, filled with compassion on his account, poured to him some warm liquid food through a crevice in the wall. Finally, when in consequence of having suffered hunger so long, he was so weakened that he could not live any longer, he requested once more that they would, in his great distress, allow him a little warm food, which the jailer made known to the lords. This, however, they jointly refused to grant in order to cause him, if possible, to apostatize. But finally, one of the lords, beholding his misery, gave permission that they should give him something to eat again, which, when it was done, he could not eat or bear it no more, and thus died famished in his bonds, for which the Lord shall hereafter at his heavenly table reward him with eternal satiation or eternal food. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Luke 6:21. And there are other stories of those who died for their faith. This was a young man. There are many stories of those who died. Stories of those who were at the stake and their children were taken from them as they stood there and roughly used. But they stood firm. They stood firm. Because of a faith that was rooted and grounded in the Lord Jesus. I'm going to get to the last part of the message just shortly. But let us, with eyes of faith, look beyond the distress of today. In whatever that is. Heaven will surely be worth it all. Heaven will surely be worth it all. Willing to trust all to God. 2 Timothy 1:12, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. The song, Fully Surrendered, Lord Divine, comes to my mind. I will be true to thee. Oh, may we be faithful. Last point of the message, faith victorious. Faith victorious. These three Hebrew boys, young men in the fire, faith victorious. They were bound. This was a pretty hasty action here, I take it. The furnace was made very, very hot. So hot that the men who threw them in were killed because of the heat, I believe. They died. And these three young men were bound in their clothing. They were thrown into the furnace. Faith victorious, they were loosed from their bonds. You know, the only thing that changed when they fell into the fire regarding their physical condition was that they had more freedom after they were thrown in the fire than they did before. The bonds of evil meant to confine them, my little mind says it, they burned off. That's the only thing that burned. Everything else stayed intact. Not even a smell of fire. They were loose from their bonds. Faith victorious, loved ones, will loose us of our bonds. Faith in Jesus Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Those who come to the Father must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Faith victorious. Secondly, the fire had no power over them. We talked about that. The fire had no power. Burning, raging fire. I wonder what that was like, walking in the flames. But no, it was just like walking in your, I don't know what it was like. The fire had no power. Faith victorious. Thirdly, they were strengthened in their trial. Nebuchadnezzar said as he looked into there and he was astonished, he said, the fourth man looks like the Son of God. How did he know what the Son of God looks like? The fourth man looks like the Son of God. How precious and beautiful. Reminds me of Jesus in the garden when the angels came and ministered unto him, strengthening him. Romans 8, verses 26 and 27, talks about the Spirit making intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. As we're praying and as we're seeking God and as we're, the Spirit makes intercession for us. Philippians 4:13, you know this verse by heart. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Faith victorious. In verse 19 of Philippians 4, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Faith victorious. Ephesians 3, verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Faith victorious. I love what Nebuchadnezzar says, his testimony in verse 28. He's talking about this experience and he says, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word. Yes, he did. He frustrated the king's word. That's what that word change means. Frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might serve, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Serve or worship any other except their own God. Fourthly, faith victorious, God was exalted. Verse 28, I just read. Verse 29, Nebuchadnezzar makes this decree, and he decrees that there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. How long did he feel that way? Well, we do not have any record, I don't believe, in Scripture of Nebuchadnezzar ever giving his full commitment to the Lord necessarily. Well, maybe he did after his time. I didn't study into that, but God was exalted. Truth will prevail no matter how dark a situation may appear. Truth will prevail. This was a miracle. Truth will prevail. In conclusion, God will do his part. I'd like to conclude by reading Romans 8, and verses 35 to 39. You do not need to turn there. You can if you care to. Precious verses. These verses were used at my wife and I when we got married at our wedding day. Romans 8, verse 35, 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God will do his part. The victory is won. We must do our part in genuine faith and worship and service. The real reward is yet to come. Let's be faithful, no matter what the cost. Let us stand together, encouraging one another, so much the more as we see the day approaching. Let us kneel to pray.